What's up, Oost? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and the crowning achievement of these last years from the point of view of the peace in the Middle East is the Abraham Accords. Integral to that is the UAE, and we're very pleased to welcome the founder and president of the Emirates Policy Center, Ebtissam Al-Katbi, who's speaking to us from the Middle East about the Abraham Accords. And I begin with a news item that seems especially joyous. The president of the United States, the new president of the United States, in a phone call with the crown prince of the UAE of Abu Dhabi and the deputy supreme commander himself, the crown prince, and the president discussed Iran, Israel, and the Middle East openly and reaffirmed the partnership between the U.S. and the UAE. Ebtissam, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. This looks like more good news. I'm not looking for any other twist, but what have the Abraham Accords done for the people of the UAE? Has it improved everyone's posture towards the future given the troubles in the region? Good evening, good day to you.
Good evening, and thank you for hosting me. And, well, you know, Middle East always full of surprises, and I think Abraham Accord was one of the big surprises in the region, I think, for the world. Now, if we read the history closely, we will find out that the likelihood of normalizing ties between UAE and Israel has been a possible scenario for decades. There are many reasons that bring the two countries closer and drive them to cooperate. The decision to normalize with Israel, it was coming that after 10 years of that secret relation between UAE and Israel and cooperation in terms of intelligence cooperation. So the change of the interest and the threats in the regional environment and the shift in the American perspective of the Middle East have pushed UAE and the other Arab countries, of course, to recognize Israel and establish official ties with Tel Aviv. The strategic implications of the Emirati-Israeli peace treaty, which is a regional, I call it, game changer, embody a new arrangement in the region founded on enhancing stability, development, and prosperity. It's also presents a project for cooperation in the region, the Gulf, the Mediterranean, and the Red Sea, with strategic dimensions that might reshape the Middle East and relations between its peoples.
What's going on in Vienna? How it's seen in the UAE? When I visited there 10 years ago for the first time and thought and believed and hoped that this could come about, it was a dream, and see the reality is really exciting. But now we see the challenges that the two countries, Israel, UAE, together with others now face together, primarily amongst them is Iran. How do you see the negotiations? How does the government of the UAE see them and perceive the any progress or measures that have been introduced there?
We need that. We are fed up of war, of instability in the region. We want some peace, but also we have a fear in the Gulf region that we will be neglected, and I would put it bluntly, GCC fear that they might be doomed to repeat the experience of the nuclear deal as international parties continue to ignore their interests, whilst in effect permitting Tehran to marginalize them. The concern among also the Arab Gulf countries are evident in their calls for representation and negotiation with Iran, whilst Iran refusing to countenance GCC participation in any talk with the international community shows an ongoing desire by Tehran to marginalize them. Also, there are fear, the Arab fear that Washington abandonment of dialogue in favor of outsourcing solutions to regional partners may undermine essential engagement with Iran by restricting any cooperation to bilateral basis, or at best, purely regional negotiations without international supervision or auspices. This necessarily means that these truces will not lead to the desired outcome. Historical experiences always show that Iran is happy to support this approach, given its upper hand in any purely regional or bilateral talks. Of course, not to mention here its tendency to ignore its commitment made as a result of such negotiations, which lack any binding international oversight. Now, if I move to the Iranian-Saudi talks, this concern, as analysis, as researcher, is still there, that if there is no U.S. auspices, U.N. auspices, Iran will not respect any kind of agreement between Iran and let's say Saudi, for example, you know.
Dr. Al-Khatibi, the Biden administration is in conversation with the Iran regime now. You mentioned that Iran does not respect agreements. Is it your belief that Iran would not respect an Iran deal if it was worked out by the Biden administration? Would it be worthwhile, that deal, given Iran's posture towards its neighbors?
Well, I think if there is, you know, even the 2015 deal, we cannot say that Iran respected that deal. What is Israel revealed, all the CDs, Netanyahu's and his conference shows, it shows that Iran did not respect that deal, did not comply with that deal. Okay? So this is what I'm saying here. We have to use the snapshot. Okay? This is the seventh charter, UN seventh charter, to be sure that Iran will follow the deal and monitoring. The other things, well, let me say also, with this negotiation, it's coming in the light of the Iranian presidential election. And it is obvious now that the conservative coming and the IRGC candidates will win the presidency. So we will have a stubborn and very tough negotiation. If I don't think we will reach now. We have only 1 month, 20th June, we will have that presidential election. So I don't think there is a time to reach any solution or a new deal. And we have to also to put in consideration that Iran doesn't want to go back to the 2015 deal. Iran wants to start from the 20% centrifuges. Okay, mm-hmm. It will not. Iran wants to lift the sanctions, but not to go back to the same 2015 deal. It should be differentiated when we talk about negotiation.
Dr. Abtissam Al-Khatibi is the founder and president of the Emirates Policy Center. She teaches political science at the United Arab Emirates University in the UAE. She's a member of the Gulf Cooperation Council's Consultative Commission, Malcolm Holmline Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.